Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 76 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Arlo Barnett.
We believe that drug addiction is a disease and it should be treated as a disease no matter how it started.
A new group in Olive Hill is battling the area's drug problem.
Two teens are awaiting charges for killing a herd of cattle.
A political forum prompting grassroots movements was held in Moorhead last night.
In sports, Moorhead State University's football team has chosen a new quarterback.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Stray showers possible tonight. Stay tuned after the news for your extended weather forecast.
A new group in Olive Hill is joining the battle against the area's drug problem. People Against Drugs was formed by Simile Tackett Napier and Angie Messer-Fultz. Napier says the group's goal is to help people kick their drug habits.
We're trying to educate people on addiction because we're finding out that that is part of the problem, is people don't know how to help people who are addicted. And we just want overall for people who are in active addiction to not have the negative stigma of addiction and to not be embarrassed to ask for help and to not be ashamed, and for families to be able to talk about it and not be ashamed.
Napier says drug addictions happen for many different reasons, and the key to assisting addicts is not by judging them, but by helping them find the services they need to get their lives back on track. People Against Drugs will meet on Monday night at 6 at the Olive Hill Senior Community Center. For more information, you can call Napier at 606-909-3076.
Methadone is a drug prescribed for opioid addiction, but many in the regulatory and law enforcement communities are concerned that both it and Suboxone are being abused at high rates. According to research from the American Psychological Association, doctors are concerned about the number of patients requesting treatment for painkiller abuse, and many don't have time to take on new patients. Johns Hopkins University's Dr. Andrew Hune says it's a crisis that keeps getting worse every year.
Addiction or opioid use disorder is a chronic disease, so just like diabetes or asthma, it's not going to go away. If you have a severe opioid use disorder, it needs to be treated like a chronic disease.
Government data published earlier this year estimate that nearly 1.3 million people were hospitalized or sought help at an emergency room for opioid-related issues in 2014.
Social media posts have revealed the identity of two teenagers who allegedly killed a herd of cattle in Pike County. Joe Yates and Danny Branham were devastated to find five pregnant cows and three young calves murdered or clinging to life after being shot on Tuesday. Yates told WYMT the cattle were part of the pair's retirement plan.
We done this. Hopefully we could build enough to where we, when we retire, we would have a little extra cash for us, for our livelihood. And, you know, it's for our families.
Yates discovered a video circulating on Snapchat after the cows were killed. It was one of two teenagers showing off a large amount of ammunition and a rifle. Later, the teens were seen recording themselves near the farm where the cows were located. Police say the pair have confessed to the crime and charges are currently pending.
Two people wanted in the pepper spraying of an 80-year-old woman at Mount Sterling Walmart were arrested Wednesday in Oklahoma. The Lexington Herald Leader reports 35-year-old George Michael Jude and 36-year-old Sandra Yakwo were lodged in the Tulsa County Jail. They were wanted on first-degree robbery charges filed by Mount Sterling Police. On Sunday, Jude reportedly shoplifted several items from the store and pepper-sprayed an employee when she tried to stop him. Yakwo was accused of providing the pepper spray. The two suspects left the Walmart in a maroon minivan with Oklahoma plates, according to police. In Oklahoma, Jude was charged with being a fugitive from justice. Yakwo faces the same charge, along with the charge of larceny.
Police are searching for two men who robbed and assaulted another man at a bus stop. According to WLEX, it happened shortly before 11 p.m. Wednesday at the Greyhound bus stop on New Circle Road near the Burger King in Lexington. Police say the men had taken a bus from Louisville to meet two men who were trying to sell him drugs. However, when they met up with him at the bus station, police said the men then beat up and robbed him instead. Police said the suspects are between 40 and 50 years old. One is described as heavy set and was wearing a red shirt. The other is about 6 feet 8 inches tall and was wearing a brown shirt.
A political forum in Moorhead last night saw former state auditor Adam Edelin and Kentucky sports radio host Matt Jones discussing a grassroots movement they're calling the New Kentucky Project. The town hall-style forum was attended by local politicians and community members who voiced their frustrations with recent legislative action in Frankfort. Edelin says the NKP is a nonpartisan platform for people who want to make a positive difference in Kentucky with a focus on commonly held values instead of political differences.
We're organizing around a belief that the way we're going to change and modernize our politics is to get new ideas and new leaders in. So we've spent a lot of time organizing at the county level. We've spent a lot of time identifying new leaders and identifying new ideas to promote. And that will really sort of culminate this fall as we roll out our blog, which is our digital newspaper, and start to showcase some of what we've found in Kentucky over the last several months.
Edelin says the New Kentucky Project currently has more than 2,000 members, including both Democrats and Republicans, who provide most of the funding for the movement. The NKP hopes to draw attention away from divisive social issues. Edelin says almost everyone can agree on basic necessities like health care, education, infrastructure, internet access, and a livable wage for the working middle class.
A loss of funds could cause an issue for Mays Lick. MSPR's Tilden Johnson has more.
According to the Maysville Ledger Independent, during a recent meeting, members of the Mays Lick Lions Club were informed that the funds to illuminate the town's 30 streetlights could soon run dry. The Lions Club says it has enough funds to pay the lighting bill for only the next 3 months. The Lions Club established the lighting fund in the 1960s, and despite generous donations, the rising cost of paying for the downtown lights is now exceeding the money coming in. If further financial help is not received, the lights in Mays Lick may be turned off. Anyone who wants to donate can contact the Mays Lick Lions Club. For MSPR, I'm Tilden Johnson.
While he says nothing's official, Rowan Judge Executive Walter Blevins believes the county has a good shot to eventually land one of the dozen or so factories that Brady Industries will build in the region to provide supplies for its new $1.3 billion high-tech aluminum mill in South Shore. Blevins says Rowan County has a lot to offer any manufacturing firm, pointing out that I-64 runs right through it, and the county has a large-scale regional airport.
If you don't have an airport, the people aren't going to come. The people that run large businesses and factories, they don't fly in their cars, they fly in airplanes. So you have to have a good airport. We've got that. We've got the interstate, as you say. We've got a university. We've got a space science center. And right up there, we've got the Advanced Manufacturing Community and Technical College that will be opened up.
That's scheduled to happen this coming January. Blevins thinks Brady could decide to put one of its satellite supplier plants in Rowan County in the next couple of years. Brady Industries' new South Shore facility is slated to open in 2020.
An official with the Moorhead Rowan County Chamber of Commerce says the community is about to work with Moorhead State University on another important project. Tracy Williams is the chamber's executive director. Williams says it will be a good one for MSU students.
There is a trail being built from the city park to B-dubs in the cinema area, so they have a good, safe place to walk to go to other parts of town, which I think is great, and it's for everybody, but I really feel that the students are going to benefit from that.
Williams says unlike in many other college towns, the Moorhead community and Moorhead State University enjoy a close working relationship, noting that they've partnered on several key initiatives over the years.
The Boyd County Board of Education has decided to increase taxes. MSPR's Kyle Blankenbuehler reports.
According to the Daily Independent, the board approved Superintendent Brock Walter's recommendation during a special meeting Tuesday to raise 2017 property taxes by 2.5 cents. All five board members voted to set the property tax rates at 65.7 cents per $100 of assessed value on real estate and on personal property in the Boyd County School District. The move will generate about $300,000 more dollars a year for Boyd Schools, which will hike its annual tax revenue total to approximately $7.9 million. The board will meet again at 7 p.m. August 22nd at Boyd County High School Alumni Auditorium. Reporting for more at State Public Radio News, I'm Kyle Blankenbuehler.
Fleming County officials continue to talk with representatives of the Federal Emergency Management Agency as they assess the damage there that resulted from storm-induced flooding back on July 23rd. Judge Executive Larry Foxworthy says the largest amount of wreckage happened to businesses in the city of Flemingsburg after a local creek spilled over its banks.
A lot of people don't realize that, but it goes under some of these buildings here, and it's called the Town Branch. It floods on occasions when there's more than 2 to 3 inches of rain, especially in a short period of time. And the storm sewer systems and the other things, that just when it overflows, it just won't handle it all. And so that was where most of it was in the downtown area.
Foxworthy thinks the damage around the city and in Fleming County will not reach $1 million levels, but adds it will likely stretch into the high six figures. Foxworthy hopes Fleming County will meet FEMA's threshold for disaster assistance.
The Menifee County Sheriff's Office is warning area residents about spoofing calls. WTVQ reports there have been numerous complaints about these calls that are telling residents they've won trips and prizes. According to the sheriff's office, one call shows up through caller ID as Menifee Elementary. These calls are either a prank or a scam. Companies are able to make it appear that they are calling from a local number or anyone they choose through a computer program. The phone company has no way to trace the calls. The sheriff says personal information should never be shared with anyone who calls and says you've won something. He advises everyone to spread the word about the possible scam.
The woman accused of setting her husband on fire in Laurel County went before a judge on Wednesday morning. Vera Roseanne Wooten entered the courtroom with other inmates in handcuffs and chains. According to WKYT, Wooten didn't say much in court, and District Judge James Lambert entered the not guilty plea on her behalf.
I understand your rights and charges.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and appoint you a public defender, as I'm required to do by law. Also, as I'm required to do by law, I'm going to enter a not guilty plea because it is a felony charge.
Police say Wooten caught her husband, John, in a car with another woman and then poured gasoline on him before setting him on fire. John Wooten suffered burns to over 50% of his body and is now in critical condition at a specialized burn unit hospital in Cincinnati. Judge Lambert set Wooten's bond for $100,000. If she gets out, she's not allowed to have any contact with the victim. Wooten will be back in court on Tuesday for a preliminary hearing.
And turning now to a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening region, including the counties of Bath, Menifee, and Rouen. Tonight, a 20% chance of showers. We'll see lows around 64 degrees. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, a stray shower or thunderstorm possible, highs around 83 degrees. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy skies early, becoming partly cloudy late, a stray shower or thunderstorm possible, lows around 65. And on Saturday, at the beginning of our weekend, sunshine and clouds, a stray shower or thunderstorm possible, highs near 80 degrees. It's currently 75 in Ashland right now, 79 in Flemingsburg, 73 degrees in Inez, 84 in Winchester, 85 in Lexington, and 76 degrees on the campus of Morehead State University.
On our feature segment today, the Morehead State football team is just 3 weeks away from kicking off the 2017 season. MSPR's Braxton Howard has more on the Eagles.
The Eagles are looking to bounce back from last year's 4-7 record, but replacing some big-time playmakers from that team could be difficult. The Eagles' biggest challenge is replacing record-setting quarterback Austin Gayhafer after a QB battle in the spring and the first few practices in the fall. Redshirt junior Lawson Page beat out senior Jack Sherry for the job. While he says he's excited to lead the team, Page says he doesn't feel any added pressure trying to live up to Gay Hafer's career.
I think every quarterback has, you know, it's going to have its challenges, you know, just keeping everybody upbeat, when things are down, you know, keeping everybody up, you know, no matter how far down we get, we can always come back.
Another area of concern for MSU is on the defensive side of the ball. The Eagles lost their top three leading tacklers from last year's squad, with Ryan Bennett and Brandon Lauder both graduating, and with standout D lineman Cope Briggs leaving Moorhead to attend medical school at the University of Pikeville. Defensive coordinator Zach Moore says replacing Briggs will be a big-time feat to overcome.
We knew that wherever he was lined up, you know, that was going to be taken care of and plays were going to be made because he was, you know, the most productive defensive lineman in the league last year, if not, you know, one of the most productive in the nation in FCS. So we just got to get the next guy up. We have other guys that have been playing behind him, you know, for a couple of years, and now it's their opportunity. So his choice to leave the team to pursue a medical career is just another opportunity for somebody like Jeremiah Draper and Jamil Butler and Dante Jones and, you know, David Devon. Those guys all have an opportunity now to fill his spot.
Despite last season's disappointing record, the Eagles' offense did connect for an average of 32 points per game and nearly 550 yards per game, something that leading returning wide receiver Christian Robinson expects to continue.
We're going to keep it going, probably even more explosive than last year. We got a lot of talent on the outside and inside in the slot. Got some pretty good running backs coming back. A couple running backs that came in, we should be good.
The Eagles have their second team scrimmage of the preseason this Saturday, and head coach Rob Tenier wants to see, among other things, his guys execute the playbook a little better than they did last Saturday.
Just some major improvement from the first week to the second week, you know, and trying to evaluate some players at some positions. We're going to sit down as a staff today and look at our depth chart and try and project, you know, who's going to be on the bus and who we need to start, you know, getting a little few more reps in team period and Skelly period and things like that. So, you know, just a big jump in production.
MSU's preseason work will conclude in 3 weeks from today when they host Kentucky Christian at Jane Stadium at 6 p.m. on August the 31st. For Moorhead State Public Radio Sports, I'm Braxton Howard.
It's 4:47 and 76 degrees here on the campus of Moorhead State University. I'm Leanne Akers here with Arlo Barnett. We are glad to have you with us this Thursday afternoon. Braxton Howard will be back with sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center in Moorhead. The center offers a convenient 24-hour drop-off for a variety of recyclables and on-site pickup program for Round County businesses. Shredding services are available for businesses or individuals, and the center provides tours for classrooms and civic groups. Located near the Moorhead City Park, the Community Recycling Center also accepts computers, printers and fax machines, DVDs, CDs, phones, videotapes and game devices. More information at 784-1250.
Good afternoon with Moorhead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. Moorhead State football coach Rob Tenier believes the Eagles can win games with Lawson Page at quarterback. Tenier this week named the redshirt junior as the starter over senior Jack Sherry. He says Page gives the Eagles a dual threat at that position since he's not only a good passer but a good runner as well.
That's the thing that sticks out to a lot of people just out here watching practice. You know, the escapability in the pocket and his athletic ability to be able to take off and run and do some things. And so that's another dimension. You know, it's something we hadn't had in a while. And so, you know, if you can get a couple third down conversions with quarterbacks running, that puts a lot of pressure on that defense.
Page last season served as MSU's quarterback in its Wildcat formation, primarily carrying the ball on short yardage plays. The Kentucky football team's quarterbacks coach says Drew Barker is looking like the Drew Barker of old at the Wildcats preseason practices. Barker is returning from a back injury that cost him the final 9 games of last season, but Darren Henshaw says the player's comeback is going well. Barker agrees, even though he's yet to go through any kind of contact work.
I haven't gotten hit yet, but like we've been doing drills with like rolling on the ground and stuff like that, and no, I haven't had any problems at all.
At this point, the junior is slated to back up senior starter Stephen Johnson this season. The Round County football team visits Nicholas County tomorrow night for an 8 o'clock scrimmage as part of the EKC Gridorama. New coach Kelly Ford says the outing will give him and his staff the chance to see what works for the Vikings and what doesn't.
Well, it'll be the first time we'll get some good game on film where we can go back and look and see what type of adjustments we got to make. But going into the scrimmage, just going to be loose and probably excited and let the kids have fun and then hopefully flying around and tackling people.
The Round County team opens up for real a week from tomorrow night at Morgan County. Speaking of, Morgan's new football coach has begun the task of rebuilding a Cougars program that enters 2017 losers of 14 of its last 15 games. Mark Easterling says job one has been to get more boys to come out for the team, a process that he admits is a work in progress. The one positive, though, has been the attitude of the players he does have.
They're coming with a positive attitude and willing to work, showing up early and hitting the weight room, doing some study sessions. So they've got a positive outlook on what's happening right now. And then I look for it's not going to be a fast turnaround, but we're getting things headed in the right direction.
At this point, Morgan County has just over 30 players on its varsity football roster. New Round baseball coach Scott Collins was introduced at a press conference today to players and fans. Collins takes over the Round program after the death of Keith Prater, who died last month after a battle with leukemia. Collins, who was an assistant under Prater, says he is excited about continuing Keith's legacy.
Absolutely. It's a very exciting time. However, it is bittersweet with the situation, the reason we're here with the loss of Keith. But Coach Prater, you know, he's built the program, he's laid the foundation now. So I'm looking forward to trying to continue that success and keep on building.
Scott is the son of Zane Collins, who coached baseball, basketball, and football at Round County for nearly three decades. The Cincinnati Reds beat the Padres earlier today up at Great American Ballpark 10-3. Scooter Gennett led the way for Cincy's offense with a grand slam in the seventh inning. Eugenio Suarez homered two pitches later. Zach Cozart and Joey Votto added homers in the eighth, with Votto's solo shot extending his hitting streak to a season-high 15 games. The Reds won three of the four games in the series with San Diego. They visit Milwaukee tomorrow to start a series with the Brewers. One other game in baseball this afternoon, Pittsburgh beat Detroit 7-5. Tickets for the 2017 edition of Big Blue Madness at Rupp Arena will be available Friday, September the 29th at 10 p.m. The event, which is the first open practice opportunity for UK's 2017-18 men's and women's basketball teams, is scheduled for October the 13th at 7 p.m. WLEX reports that tickets are again free this year for the annual spectacle, which will feature introductions of both the men's and women's basketball teams, practice drills, videos, and more. Like the last 2 years, the ticket distribution will take place Friday night, both at Memorial Coliseum and online at Ticketmaster.com. One other note from college basketball, Duke coach Mike Krzyzewski will undergo knee replacement surgery this weekend, and as a result, the Blue Devils have canceled their exhibition trip to the Dominican Republic. Krzyzewski missed seven games last season due to back surgery. Finally in sports, the Morehead State Athletic Department is entering 2017-18 with a new catchphrase. According to Brad Smith, MSU's Senior Associate Athletic Director, all of the Eagles teams will operate under one banner, one town, one team.
We want to embrace the community, connect the community with our athletic department, and also with our university as well. So it's a slogan that can translate to not only to the city of Morehead, to Round County, but also the region and throughout Eastern Kentucky. So one town, one team is something that we're looking forward to expanding, and we'll be doing some more advertising campaigns as the year goes on.
Smith says you can get a free yard sign with a new slogan on it from MSU Athletics or download social media art that features it from the department's Facebook and Twitter social media accounts. That's it for sports. For Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Tickets are now available for Morehead State fall sports, including football, volleyball, and soccer. Soccer hosts Valparaiso in an exhibition match on Sunday at MSU's Jane Stadium. Game time is 1 p.m. More information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. equities fell as tensions between the United States and North Korea persisted, and the Dow Industrials finished with a sharp loss of 204.69 at 21,844.01. The S&P 500 was down 35.81 at 2438.21, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 135.46, finishing at 6216.87. New York Stock Exchange breadth was over 6-1 in favor of losing stocks over winners. And the tech sector in particular hit very hard today, and that was reflected in the larger drop in the NASDAQ compared to the other major indices. The CBOE Volatility Index, which is widely considered the best gauge of fear in the market, soared more than 40% to trade at just under 16, which is its highest level since May. The iShares MSCI South Korea Captive, or I should say the iShares MSCI South Korea Captive Exchange Traded Fund, symbol EWY, which tracks the South Korean market, fell 2.4% today. And President Donald Trump doubled down on remarks that were made earlier in the week when he commented that North Korea would face fire and fury, as he said his previous statement may not have been tough enough. And his statements not only shook our markets, but also overseas markets. In Europe, the Stock 600 was down 1%, and in Asia, the Shanghai market was down 0.4%, while the Hang Seng Index was down 1.1%. Investors did keep a close eye today on the tech sector, as it has been the year's best-performing sector, and it was down more than 1% in today's trading. Wall Street also turned its eyes to retail earnings, as Macy's and Kohl's both reported better-than-expected quarterly results. Dillard's, however, posted much weaker-than-expected results, and all three stocks were actually down sharply today. In the commodities markets, gold was up almost 1% in a flight to safety as it finished at $1,291.10 an ounce. Oil, on the other hand, was down 2.2%, finishing at $48.48 a barrel. And among your Dow industrial stocks, your best performers were McDonald's and Coca-Cola. Your worst performers were Apple and Goldman Sachs. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Perrigo and Darden. The worst performers were Macy's and Signet Jewelers. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global down 28 cents at 61.08, CSX down 86 cents at 49.84, AK Steel down 3 cents at 5.34, Marathon Petroleum down 76 cents at 52.23, AEP up 39 cents at 71.35, and Kroger was down 39 cents to finish at 23.55. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can easily be accommodated, featuring a variety of gifts, cards, locally made crafts, and now a complete yarn shop, a community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Moorhead. The Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop and Coffee Tree Books are open Monday through Saturday, online, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Turning once again to a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening region, tonight a 20% chance of showers, lows around 64 degrees. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, a stray shower or thunderstorm possible, highs around 83. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy, a stray shower or thunderstorm at 20% chance, lows around 65. On Saturday, we'll see partly sunny skies, highs near 80 degrees. That night, a few clouds, lows around 58. And on Sunday, at the end of this weekend, we'll see partly cloudy skies, highs around 80 degrees. It is currently 75 degrees in Ashland, 79 in Flemingsburg, 73 in Inez, 84 degrees in Winchester, 85 in Lexington, and 76 degrees here in Moorhead.
That's it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Arlo Barnett, Ellen Barnett, Braxton Howard, Sean Delaney, Jacob Lindberg, Tilden Johnson, Chaz Jenkins, and Kyle Blankenbuehler. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BH in Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Arlo Barnett and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers. For Moorhead State Public Radio News, All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.